Maşallah. May Allah reward you. Elhamdülillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Let's all recite Durud Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Respected elders, in our last Jumu'ah talk, if you remember, we were going through the verses of Suratul Hujurat. In our Quran, there is a surah by the name of Suratul Hujurat. And that surah mainly talks about community or communal ethics. In our society, in our community, how should we be living? What are the etiquettes that we need to have? What are the manners that we need to have when we are living in a community? And obviously the whole surah, if you look into it, that's what is mentioned in that surah. But we looked into the first ayah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, La tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasooli. Do not go ahead of what Allah says and what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. When Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, we sami'na wa ata'na. We have listened and will act upon it. We do not go ahead than that. Then in the next verse, the next ayah, the next important aspect, you know, obviously first begins with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereafter comes the right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the respect that we need to have for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have brought iman, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Do not raise your voice above the voice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not raise your voice above that. And we've mentioned that there was an incident that took place. You know, there was a delegation by the name of Tamim that came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was a discussion that was going on. In the meantime, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr radiallahu an and Umar radiallahu an to give the opinion that who should be the Amir, the leader of this delegation. So Abu Bakr radiallahu an was of one opinion, and Umar radiallahu an who was saying that this person should be the Amir, should be the leader. So whilst that discussion was going on, their voices raised. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, that when you're in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not raise your voice. And subhanallah, see the status and the, you know, the sahaba, the life of the sahaba. Whenever, you know, anything would have, you know, whenever something was said to them, they would make sure that they act upon it. From this time onwards, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that from today onwards, I will speak as if someone is whispering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran. And Umar radiallahu anhu, from that time onwards, you know, whenever he would speak, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, you know, sometimes he used to, he had to ask Umar that, Umar, can you please repeat yourself? What did you just say? This was the concern the Sahaba had, you know, on practicing or on bringing the ayat and the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it down, revealed. Now, inshallah, in today's talk, we'll understand that, see, these verses that we've got, obviously the whole Qur'an and the instructions that we've got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's applicable till the end of time. We can't say, oh, these rules were only for them. For us, it's a different rules. No. All these rules applies to us as well. So, you know, from this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who have brought iman, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lesson that we need to learn from this is that when we hear or say the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to show that respect as well. We need to show that etiquette. Whenever we are addressing, or whenever we are saying the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to say it with utmost respect. That is why, you know, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left this world, it was the time of Umar radiallahu an, the second Khalifa, Umar radiallahu an. It was during his time that when he saw two people in Masjid al-Nabawi, in Madinatul Munawwara, they're having a discussion. Two people. And whilst that discussion was going on, their voices were raised. So Umar radiallahu an went up to them and reminded them of this ayah. That, don't you know that Allah says in the Quran that do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can you not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is right here? How can you raise your voice here? So Umar radiallahu an, he reminded them of this ayah. So, you know, when today as well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Medina Munawwara again and again. Yeah. So when we go there, when we go in front of the Rawdah, when we go and say salam in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to show that respect as well. Today, unfortunately, we see, you know, many of us, we're on the phones, you know, we're taking those selfies, video cameras, the video calls is on, the pictures has been taken. No. You see so much of, you know, noise been taking place at that particular place. This is against the etiquette and respect that we need to have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we go there, we need to show the utmost respect, because Allah says in the Quran, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And, you know, it also applies when we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being taken, we need to show that respect. For example, on Jummah days, when the khutbah is going on, we need to listen attentively. Listening to the khutbah, listening to the ayat of the Quran, listening to the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ being recited, listening to it with utmost respect is also, you know, one of the teachings of this ayah where Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi." I'll just narrate an incident, a story of a great imam by the name of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Malik was a great imam. He was known as Imam Udar al-Hijrah, the Imam of the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to, meaning Medina Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. So he is known as the Imam of that place. Such great Imam. One day what happened was, whilst he was giving the dars of hadith, the lesson of hadith, he was teaching hadith to his students, and the students noticed that the color of his face was changing. The color of his face was changing over and over again. So the students were noticing it. So they couldn't understand the reason behind it. And when the dars completed, one of the students went up to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi and he said to him that, "Oh Shaykh, whilst you're giving the talk, whilst the khutbah, whilst the dars was going on, the dars of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we noticed that the color of your face was changing. What was the reason? What's the reason behind it? What happened? Is everything okay?" So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi then said to him that, "Can you please go back and see on my jubba, in my qamis? I think something is there." So when the student went back and checked, there was a scorpion that was biting Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. A scorpion that was stinging Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. So the student told Shaykh, "Oh Shaykh, you could have stopped the dars for a moment. We could have removed that scorpion and then you could have carried on." Now see the reply, what did Imam Malik said? Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said that, "I did not feel like stopping the dars of my beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of my inconvenience. How can I stop the dars of the hadith?" Remember, it was not stopping it completely. It was just stopping it for a moment, right? But still, you know, his heart did not allow him to stop even for that moment. Why? He said, "Oh, I am facing that inconvenience. Why should I stop the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being recited?" This was the level of respect and etiquette, you know, they had when it comes to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine, you know, how much of effort we need to make into it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. You know, this month, it also connects us with the month that we're in, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. I'm sure we all know that this is the month in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. We all know that, mashallah. And see, without a doubt, without a trace of doubt, the day when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, that is the most blessed day ever, without any trace of doubt. The most nuraniyat day, you can say, the most blessed day, the day full of barakah and blessing is the day when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world, without a trace of doubt. But then I need to ask a question to myself, that every year when this month of Rabi'ul Awwal comes, what am I taking lesson from it? What am I doing it? MashaAllah, we see in our masajid, mosques, you know, we see when the month of Rabi'ul Awwal comes, we see, you know, the majalis taking place, the na'at program, MashaAllah, really good. But then I need to ask a question to myself, that is the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just for this month? Is the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just for one specific day? Just for one month? No, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for me 24/7. All throughout my life, I need to copy and follow the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why there is an Urdu poet. He says that if you want to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naqshe qadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. Naqshe qadam nabi ke hain jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hain sunnat ke raaste. If we want to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to gain the pleasure of Allah is by following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the month of Rabi'ul Awwal comes, mashallah, we've got the majalis, we've got the programs taking place. But how many of us seated here today, you know, make an intention, you know, this particular sunnah, it's not in my life, I need to bring this sunnah in my life, inshallah. This sunnah is not in my life. For example, I haven't got a beard, I haven't got a proper beard. From today onwards, I'm making an intention that inshallah, I'll be having a beard. Because it's the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the sunnah of miswak or any other sunnah. We find out the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring it into our lives. You know, it's a very sad thing. See, many a times our mindset, the way we think is, for example, if there is something that somebody tells us, "All right, can you do this? Or do this amal, do this thing," right? And then the first question that we ask is, "Tell me, is it fard or is not fard? Is it fard on?" So, and if we find out, oh, it's fard, it's compulsory for us to do it, then we'll do it. MashaAllah, very good. We should be doing it. But then if somebody tells us, "Why don't you do this?" Or if we find this out, that this is, and then if he tells us that this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us. Many of the time we think, oh, it's just sunnah, na'udhu billah. It's just sunnah, meaning, I don't need to do it. When we hear that it's sunnah, meaning, oh, it's fine for me to not to do it. That's a very, very wrong mindset. Very wrong mindset. You know, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were so much keen on practicing the sunnah that they would go out and find out what is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would act accordingly. And unfortunately today, we, as soon as we find out, oh, it's sunnah, that means, oh, I don't need to do it. No, that's a very wrong mindset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon the sunnah. Just one last thing. As we were speaking about showing respect and etiquette when the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken, when the ahadith has been recited, the minimum that we should all be doing is that whenever the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken, we all send blessings and salutation on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll just end on one hadith. There is a companion by the name of Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu. Once he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asks a question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, I send a huge number of salawat upon you. How much of my time, or how much of my dua time, should I be using to send blessings and salutation upon you? Meaning, how much of the time that I take out for myself, how much of that time should I allocate for reading salawat or for sending salawat upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This was the question that was asked to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that whatever you wish, it's up to you. You can do as much as you want. So he said, what if I take out 1/4, a quarter of my time sending salawat upon you? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yeah, mashallah, that's very good. But if you do a bit more, that'll be much better for you. So he said, what if I take out 1/2 of my time? He said, mashallah, very good. But if you do a bit more, that will be even better for you. He said, what if I do 2/3 of my time? You know, the dua time that I take out. What if 2/3 of that time I keep sending salawat upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, mashallah, very good. But if you do a bit more, it'll be even better for you. So that sahabi then said, what if I take out all that time just sending salawat upon you? Meaning, you know, in abundance. It doesn't mean that we should not be making dua, but what it means is in abundance, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you were to do this, meaning sending salawat upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, then see what the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, idhan yakfik Allahu hammak, aw kama qal, meaning Allah will take care of your concerns in this world and in the hereafter. Allah will take care of your concerns of this world. Whatever concerns you've got in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. And the concern of the akhirah. And what is our concern of the akhirah? That Allah should forgive us. Allah would forgive us. That's our concern of the akhirah, fikr of our akhirah. And he said that this will also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do it for you. Allah will forgive you in akhirah, and Allah will take care of your concerns in this dunya. Now just imagine, sending salawat upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, it's such a great thing. And remember one thing, ulama mentions that other du'as that we make, there is a chance, inshallah, we hope from Allah, Allah accepts our du'a. But when we send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is always accepted. It's always accepted. That's why the adab of du'a is that when we start making du'a, then the first thing is we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we send blessings and salutation on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we ask for our needs. And then at the end, we do the same thing, sending blessing and salutation, and then we end our du'a with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when Allah will accept the beginning, and Allah is going to accept the end, Allah's mercy will also accept what's in between. Allah's mercy will also accept what's in between. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gives us the tawfiq to bring his sunnah into our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum.